It's 3:22 a.m. in Amityville, and you're listening to Night Call.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Night Call, a podcast for your strange days and lonely nights. I'm Molly Lambert in Los Angeles, and joining me as always is
Tess Lynch, and over in New York we have
Emily Yoshida and Rachel a special Handler. Guest oh, this week. I don't know. No, she's so excited. She's ready to go. Rachel Handler, my editor and colleague at New York Magazine and Vulture, a very funny and great writer and just all around great coworker.
Wow. Thank you for that review.
And friend.
Rachel and I also used to work together, and I will double confirm she is also a great coworker and friend. And writer.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to bring this to my raise meeting.
Great performance review.
We were going to start, inside jokes about the magazine you guys work at. You raise your consciousness?
Yes.
Let's cut off.
They just read your aura. They're like, your aura seems good.
Yeah. It's a nice blue year for you this year.
Speaking of auras and crystals... We talked about crystals last week.
We got a lot of space news this week.
Yeah.
So much space news.
This is both crystal news and space news, which makes it perhaps the most exciting new age news.
Lucky us.
Which is that I read a story on Live Science, my favorite science story aggregator, about how the sun is going to turn into a crystal when it dies.
How? Why?
Well, funny you should ask. Just the sun is gonna die. Hold on, I'm trying to pull up the story.
I'll tell you that in the short version that I remember vaguely. There was a new study that was published that said that white dwarfs, which is, I think we knew that the sun would turn into a white dwarf. White dwarfs turn into solid crystal cores that are made of oxygen and carbon. And then when they're really, really old, this is the discovery, they're just like an entire crystal star.
Huh. So it's not like a diamond, though. It's like a... Or is it like compressed carbon that just turns into...
I mean, I think that's sort of what it's like, which again is what we were saying last week. Like that, to me, is what is amazing about crystals is you're like the earth squished an egg that is like a weird...
This is scientifically backed up.
The earth made an egg.
Scientists explain
it. That's what we call stones and gems or earth eggs.
There's like a footnote about how the age that we think stars are might be wrong because as they turn into white dwarfs, they start cooling and that like kind of distorts what their age is.
And as we've learned from all the statistics are fake about everything.
Exactly, so. Yeah.
Right. Don't trust any numbers.
Well, that is true in science, though. It's like old beliefs continually get replaced with like we know more now. Right. And like there's something smaller than a molecule or whatever, smaller than an atom. This also says that the skies are probably already filled with these crystal stars because it means that there's just a lot of stars that like already burned out and are dead and are just floating around being crystals in the sky.
This is all very, very Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
What does it mean to be a dead star?
It means it's just burnt out.
It's done. Its energy has been depleted.
It's like a plant that's dead, but
it's
like
alive,
a husk.
Though, is it?
You know,
but it's
like
still,
a plant.
How long does it exist in its dead state? Forever?
It just like floats. It's like a rock then. It becomes like a space rock. But I don't know
It never really dies. There's a lesson
Well,
there.
It's just a different form.
It
evolves into a different form. Also, before the sun turns into a crystal, it's going to turn up into a giant red giant and swallow the earth.
Well, yeah, but
You know. Looking forward.
Fake
news. Maybe.
I find it comforting to think about.
Me too. That's really soothing, actually.
We should be so lucky to last long enough to get swallowed up by the sun.
Speaking of which, this is slightly related, but speaking of science, just reevaluating everything, did you guys see that article about how like the sun is actually good for you now and sunscreen is killing people?
Yes. I loved this article. It was awesome.
I loved it so much.
It said that
was
they
it written by Russians?
No, it was like this one guy who was like, you know what? I know like all the dermatologists are going to hate me, but I'm just going to say there are all of these studies that show that avoiding the sun is as bad as smoking.
Yeah.
Well, I think you need a little vitamin D.
Yeah,
in
you
your
may
life.
Need yeah. a lot of and taking vitamin D as a supplement isn't effective.
It doesn't help, and you can die of all these things that the sun yeah. can cure. And it really validated
I'm so
my
glad
teen
you read
lifeguard
this, Rachel.
Habits.
Yeah. You still got to put on sunscreen.
On your face.
Of course, of course.
On your face.
But you still go outside.
Right. I think they're saying, like, the lifestyle of avoiding sun is
right. Don't be a vampire.
Yeah. Don't be a vampire.
Don't be a goth basement teen.
But that's, like, what those people are into, right?
Right.
Being nutrient depleted. Yeah.
They said that something like 3 people out of every 100,000 people who get skin cancer will die, whereas the odds of dying from a disease that's related to avoiding the sun is much higher. So it's basically like you should not totally avoid the sun and you should see a dermatologist. So
wait,
that
what's
you can...
bad about sunscreen?
Because it blocks the vitamin D.
It blocks the sun.
Yeah.
If you go out in the sun and you're wearing sunscreen,
yeah
it does.
No way.
No, it does. Read the thing. It's
guys,
true.
Guys, read the thing.
You got to read the thing.
Was this on a Gwyneth Paltrow website?
No, it was a real thing. It was. I said it to everyone I know because everyone likes to give me shit because I was a young lifeguard who
right.
just tanned my face off. I was like, I'm going to be okay.
We'll cite that source in our show notes and make sure.
I feel like the lobby for Big Sun may have paid for this.
Big Sun. I mean, it is the biggest.
Well, we were talking about Big Moon because we were talking about the Super Blood Wolf
super
Moon that's
blood.
Coming up.
Super and Wolf Emily, Blood Moon, I believe.
Wolf Blood.
Emily was like, what's up with the silly moon names? And a bunch of people were like, well, actually,
well,
they're very
no,
old.
I was glad that people clarified this. I mean, to be fair, I was asking about the whole name because there is such a thing as like obviously a super moon. We know about super moons. We know about blood moons. I had personally never heard of a wolf moon, but some people are saying this is an indigenous thing. Other people seem to say it's like an old world thing, a wolf moon.
There are actually, well, as somebody who bought the 2019 Witch's Almanac.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Not that long ago.
All right.
There's like a bunch of different names for every moon, and most of them are like indigenous names that then American colonizers like kept, you know?
Okay.
So things like the corn moon.
Right.
Have you ever heard the wolf sing to the blue corn moon is a thing? Sorry, please.
I thought you were
asking
ever heard
no.
the wolf sing to the wolf moon because weird
well,
if
the wolf
true.
Moon is one of the moons. There's a worm moon. That is the number one moon in my book.
Why
there's a worm
is the
moon,
worm moon? Why is it a worm?
Because it's when it's awesome. It's because it's when the worms start coming out
ew.
Of the dirt.
The soil.
Yeah, it's like the end of winter when the worms start coming.
Do they get drawn out?
I was just gonna ask.
By the gravity of the moon, like the tide.
Yes, exactly. They probably do.
That's
there's no
cool,
way.
Actually, I changed.
No,
my
it's
mind.
All it's all super cool and awesome and.
Well, we do have
a bring more moon info.
We have
week.
A super wolf blood moon coming up in No, it's in January because it's the first full moon of the year.
I think it's the 20th.
Moon.
It'll be around when this episode airs.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
around.
So,
it'll be around when this episode airs.
Yeah. So check it out. Keep your eyes out for the super wolf blood moon.
Oh, you know what happens right after that? A Night Call live show on February 5th.
Oh, I
not
wish
that
we could,
long.
I wish we could
afterwards.
Gaze at the Super Wolf Blood Moon while at our DJ set, but alas. One more bit of space news. It's been a really amazing last few months in general for SETI news. Again, search for extraterrestrial intelligence. But the most recent thing that I was so glad that you guys sent this to me. I had at least 2 other friends who sent this to me. That there have been these series of radio bursts detected by radio astronomers or radio telescopes that so far they have not ruled out could be coming from extraterrestrials. But it's repetitive. That's like the reason that it's noteworthy. It's like a signal that's now repeated itself. Nobody knows what's in the signal yet. Nobody's like, I don't think anybody has tried to dig into it yet. But it did get me reading about the theory about gamma ray bursts as a possible mode of communication from extraterrestrials, because those happen every once in a while. And apparently in a gamma ray burst, you can pack the entire information, like the sum total of all information on planet Earth could be packed into a gamma ray burst.
Whoa.
So a very advanced civilization could hypothetically send everything about themselves to us in one single, like, millisecond.
What are you talking? So they're basically they're beaming us their hard drives.
Yeah,
so we can't.
It's very possible. Yes.
Why can't we look at it?
We too dumb. Well, to be accurate, these are not gamma ray bursts. These are radio bursts. These were discovered on a radio telescope.
After you go into this, the same astronomer guy, Avi Loeb, who was kind of opining about the fast radio bursts being meaningful, today there was something about this potential spaceship called Oumuamua.
Oumuamua.
Yeah, and he's the same guy. Yeah. He's just like, I'm working at Harvard now. I'm just going to, like, speak my mind about the aliens.
So I can't remember if this is the same guy who I heard on an interview on Big Picture Science, which is the podcast of the SETI Institute, which I am a proud subscriber of.
Hell yeah.
But I think he was talking about Oumuamua, which is, like, this weird, long sort of structure that a lot of scientists are saying doesn't look like it's naturally occurring. Just the shape of it does not look like the way that asteroids or there's the word for asteroids that aren't in the asteroid belt. But it's like it doesn't look naturally occurring. And he was hypothesizing that it was a solar sail that had, like, made its way to us from some other civilization, like you know, billions of years ago or something. Because it's just this, like, long, skinny thing. I think that was discovered a couple months ago.
What are the odds it's the monolith from 2001?
I mean, it kind of looks like it. I mean, it's not as clean, but it's long and
skinny.
Well,
once we
like
get
that,
it and, like, you know, sand it up.
once we producer Ben just held up his jewel to to suggest that maybe the aliens have been vaping.
The aliens.
Maybe every time you jewel, it's like a gamma ray. And
yes.
You learn something about an ancient civilization.
Exactly. You download an entire ancient alien civilization.
There's that one bead pen that vibrates. Maybe it's just...
It's vibrating the gamma rays right to the dome. To the dome. But I think that the deal with Oumuamua, which is, it means, what does it mean? I forget. I wrote it down. So, it is...
It's a Hawaiian.
It's a Hawaiian.
It was discovered at Hawaiian
first distant messenger or scout.
Yes.
But the deal was, I guess it's the first object to pass through the solar system and, like, be identified as being, like, foreign to our solar system. So
yeah.
But also it's like, yeah, it's powered by the sun with, like, technology that we don't have. I don't know. My husband this morning was like, "Hey, did you hear about Oumuamua?" I was like, "What?" He's like, "Oumuamua." Like, "No." And he's like, "Google it." And I was like, "I can't, because you're giving me nothing to Google."
So it's like
Oumuamua.
Some alien Vikings.
Yeah. We're alien Vikings.
Yeah. Like an alien Viking barrel, because it just, like, glided all the way out to us over time. That would be cool.
When this lands on Earth, which it probably won't, but if it did, would you touch it?
Yeah, I'd touch it.
Yeah.
100%.
I'd touch the Oumuamua.
Let somebody else touch it first.
100%.
Make sure it's
Every
safe.
Time I talk about aliens, I can't talk about them for too long before I get really worked up thinking about dying before we find out. Yeah. I get, like, really upset.
Well, we were talking about this, like, last week with the Drake equation, just the likelihood of it even happening as long as there are humans on Earth.
What
is
if,
very, very
okay,
small.
But what if death is when you break on through to the other side?
There
yes,
you go.
Like in Contact.
Yeah.
You meet your dad.
Oh, on a beach.
I love how that's what people always come up with, is it's like, you meet yourself.
Yeah. The aliens just care about you.
Right.
We should read the book of Contact.
Yeah.
That would be, because I've never read it. I've just seen the movie a gazillion times, but I would love to read the
book. I like things about Contact, things about the aliens making contact. Yeah, we are all just like, we'd like to be there.
My recent favorite, it doesn't even qualify as a joke, but anytime I, like, pick up food that's fallen on the floor now, my line is just, "We are all star stuff."
Well, I keep trying to bring this up on the pod, but UFO cults, which are, like, there are a bunch of religions that are based around the idea that the rapture is when the aliens come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
of course.
It just makes sense. And they're like, well, like, people think Jesus is going to come back. And it's, you know, sounds eerily similar to when the aliens come.
Has it?
Well, that was Heaven's Gate, right?
Heaven's Gate. There's one called Happy Science, I think. That's Japanese. There's a good Wikipedia.
Which one is still around that I can join?
There's a bunch. There's a bunch. The Raelians, I believe, are a UFO cult. There's Unarius, which is not technically like a rapture cult. I love Unarius. They're on the flyer for our first live show. They're now run by a woman. Who's like the Empress of Aliens. They used to have a show public access in LA all the time that was a parade of the planets.
Ooh.
It was like
That sounds so awesome.
It was so awesome.
It's all the things you love.
It's
parades,
all no, it really put a big it imprinted on me very deeply because they would always show it because the Unarians just like bought up all this time on LA public access. And again, like that's why I love podcasting, is because it feels public access-y.
100%.
Yeah. But I will post.
Molly, you should start a UFO cult.
I would love to. That's what Night Call is eventually going to become, obviously. Yeah. Don't tell anyone about stage 3. Hey, we were going to talk a little bit about and pour some out for a friend of the podcast who is no longer with us.
Yes, Lonely George, who was the last of his species of tree snail, has died. He was 14 years old, which blew my fucking mind that he was that old, to be honest with you.
14-year-old snail?
Yes, a 14-year-old snail. Oh my God. I had a snail growing up, a pet snail. She lived, I know, poor one out again. Our kindergarten class had like tiny baby snails, and I was able to procure a tiny baby snail and brought her home. She lived for many years, but not 14.
Wait, how many years did it live for?
She lived until I was in like fourth grade.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's 5 years for
a
snail.
Oh my God.
5 years a snail in my house. Oh, my parents are saints.
What was its name?
I don't remember its name. I know you were hoping I would talk my salamander.
5 years a snail.
Yeah, you couldn't erase that. I had a snail for 5 years is a much less problematic way of saying that. It's also interesting. So with George, they had been trying to find a mate for George for a long time, but he wasn't interested, didn't want a mate. He also, I think that they are neither male nor female, but they just decided that he was a he. His researchers.
Well, George. George is an androgynous name to me. Madam George.
Madam George. Georgie girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that in the National Geographic article about George's passing, they say throughout his life, which is already funny to me, George was a public face for the struggles facing Hawaiian land snails.
Aww.
It's sad, but it's also immediately I think of a face of a snail and I'm just like,
no,
there
it is. They're cute.
They're so cute.
Cute little faces.
They have little eyes. Yeah. Did I talk about
snails?
Did I talk about banana slugs when I came back from the Bay and I'd seen a bunch of banana slugs?
I'm always down to talk about
banana
slugs.
I promised my boyfriend there would be banana slugs and then there were, and I guess it was unusual to see them in Berkeley.
Oh, really?
But
I showed up for you.
All about them, and I learned that it's like their genitals are maybe on their head.
No,
really?
Ooh.
Yeah, they have like cilia that are like a million tongues. And
let's make sure that that's true.
For sure.
I don't want to badmouth.
No, it's not badmouthing. But one of the things I learned is that they're all hermaphroditic.
Yeah,
and so they all are not a gender that we have. You know, they're like a new gender.
So these are banana slugs.
But I think a lot of slugs and snails are hermaphroditic and they reproduce where like everybody has both.
You know what's weird is like, show me a slug and I'm just never impressed. Show me a snail, any kind of snail, and I'm like,
what, because it has a house?
Because it has a house. I just like the slug is too vulnerable for me to connect with. It's so goo. It's too gooey.
It's too gooey. Well, that's what makes it.
I agree with you, Tess.
Right?
Completely.
It's different.
That's what makes it. Yeah. You're like, well, you know, take care of it.
No, not really.
What do you think about like jellyfish?
I don't like. Bad I don't things. Care for them.
I don't like.
Bad.
Them.
Do you think bad. Do you think hermit crabs are like somehow superior to regular crabs?
Yeah.
Whoa.
They're not.
No. That's.
I mean, no.
Up.
I eat crabs, but I wouldn't eat a hermit crab probably because I'm like, look at its investment that it carries around.
Whoa.
That crab's got its shit together. That crab is. it's achieved a separate, you know, it's moving up in life. Like, it's, I'm not going to take anything
Man,
away.
Has good
Maybe
credit.
Yeah. Some of the crabs just can't afford shells because of a recession.
They still have shells. I just think it's cool when animals accessorize and they're like really, you know, physically attached to
but
their
But hermit
stuff.
Crabs are renters. They don't stay in them forever.
They could.
They're itinerant.
They're renting to own.
They're relatable. Yeah. They're relatable.
This
crabs.
Is not related, but my mom saw a raccoon on her porch yesterday just like peel and eat a mandarin. And I was like,
no,
I love that. That's crazy.
I love it.
Wow. Yeah.
So we have Rachel on today to talk to her, not only because, wait, what was our line about you? You're a great writer and
a great coworker
and a great friend, but also because you have an abundance of ghost stories,
mm-hmm.
and you're here to share them with us, and we are here to receive them and think about them. So yeah, give us some background.
Yeah.
What was this this haunted house, and what was your relationship to it?
So the ghost stories are mostly all related, sort of in one long story. I'll tell it medium length. I've told this so many times, I have like versions. So the haunted house was my grandparents' house, which is in suburban Illinois, where I spent a lot of time growing up. I slept there on a lot of weekends, and so did my siblings, and we were there all the time. This big spooky house with like a ton of weird rooms and weird balconies, and it was just like a creepy, bizarre house.
Do you know when it was built?
I think it was built, I mean, I feel like it's at least 100 years old, but I know they remodeled it in like a weird 70s way, which made it even creepier.
Nice.
Like a lot of orange carpeting and stuff.
Yeah.
Also, I almost died there a different time, or my cousin almost died there a different time by my hand, but that's a different story.
Whoa.
like by accident. Okay. We decided we would try to be Mary Poppins and umbrella off the balcony. And it didn't go well, and it was my fault. No one died. I saved her by gripping her arms and holding her up on the balcony. So
I guess
I saved her life, really.
That feels like something out of the new Mary Poppins.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so this all started when I was maybe 7 years old. I woke up in the middle of the night. I was kind of sick, so I was having like a fevery evening. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I remember hearing the piano playing. They had a piano downstairs, and I remember thinking that it was my grandpa or my dad because they both played, and I was so pissed off. And I kind of walked into the hallway, and then it kept playing, and I realized, like, it was 1 a.m. There was no way they were playing the piano, and got really scared and ran back to my room and kind of convinced myself that I was dreaming. I told my parents and grandparents by the next day, and they were like, you definitely dreamed that. And I kind of, like, gaslit myself into believing that I dreamed it. I was like, no. And then a few years later, my brother was there alone with my baby sister. I think he was babysitting. And he was in the basement, and he heard the piano playing, like, one note over and over again above him, and called my grandparents and made them come home. So a couple of things like that happened. Our parents were like, you guys are imagining it, your kids, whatever. No one kind of took us seriously. So then in high school, I met my best friend. She kind of realized this connection earlier than I didn't tell me for a few years because she knew I'd be freaked out. She realized that her great-grandpa or her step-grandpa grew up in the house next door to that house when he was growing up and had like crazy stories about it that he had told her about the family that lived in my grandparents' house.
Uh-huh.
So she heard all these stories and like knew it was about the family that lived in my grandparents' house but didn't tell me because she knew I was there a lot and didn't want to freak me out. Mm-hmm. A few years go by, she's like, okay, I have to tell you this story that I know. So she tells me the following story, which is there was this family that lived there. The dad was this prominent surgeon, and he and the mom were both addicted to some drug that he got at the hospital. I don't know which one. Probably like opioids or something. Mm-hmm. And they had a daughter, and they were very obsessed with her being like a piano prodigy. Like they wanted her to play the piano and be really good. And so the grandpa was friends with the daughter. My friend's grandpa was friends mm-hmm. with this daughter. Mm-hmm. And they would play, and then she would get called inside and hear her like playing the piano and crying and being abused and being yelled at. And then one day the dad OD'd, and the mom a week later killed herself. And then the daughter got like shipped off somewhere and then came back eventually back to the house and was 18 years old and had like a carny boyfriend and a monkey that she treated like a baby.
What? Are you for real?
So this is the story she tells me.
That was some unexpected story there.
So the way she told it was that the daughter eventually died in my grandparents' house. So that's the version we were working under for mm-hmm. a really long time. Mm-hmm. So I told my grandparents the story. They were like, yeah, we actually heard that. Like, that all checks out. And I was like, holy shit. Okay. But still, my parents and my grandmas didn't believe us.
Yeah.
A little more time goes by. And then I'm at college. I come home and my grandparents are like, okay, we have something to tell you. While you were at college, we both woke up at 4 a.m. and we heard the piano playing. Like, it woke both of us out of sleep. And obviously nobody else was there. Mm-hmm. My sister was staying over one night. She was going downstairs in the middle of the night for some reason, and she heard it from the top of the stairs playing, and she called me, and I was at college. She was crying. And she was like, I'm hearing the piano. And I said, why are you crying? And she said, I'm really excited. She was like, this is the coolest thing ever. She was just like, I'm overwhelmed.
Finally it happened yeah. to me.
Wow. And there was a bunch of other like little things that happened, like this bedroom that we used to all stay in. I used to feel it shaking in the middle of the night. And my sister would then later stay in it, and she would feel it shaking in the middle of the night. And my littlest sister, who's 15, said she when she was a kid, she was playing there with one of her friends, and she looked up the stairs and saw a woman standing there, like dressed in all black or something, and her friend saw it too. And then they both kind of circled back to see if that woman was there, and she wasn't. Uh-huh. So there's just a bunch of weird shit like
yeah.
that. This is like the baseline story. The next thing that happened, I'll make it short, but when I went home like 6 months ago, I decided to do some research because I'd Googled this family over and over and never been able to find anything about them, not even obituaries. Mm-hmm. I went to the library. I like met with this historian who worked at the library.
Did you go to like the microfiche?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Wow. I went into the microfiche and it took me so long. It was so hard to find. And finally, I found these obits for both of the parents with the same names that I'd heard. And they were very sketchy. Like, it didn't say a cause of death. It didn't say anything. It was just like, 1 week the dad died, the next week the mom died, and then there's a picture of the daughter in the yearbook, and she looked really miserable. It's like all these 1950s cheerful girls, uh-huh. and she's like morose in the background. It's really creepy. Oh, and then I found all these other crazy details, like that there was money hidden in the walls, and there was like all these recurring news stories about it. So the craziest thing was I told the historian this story, and she was like, most people come in here with a crazy story and it's not true. She's like, this is one of the only times I've been able to find
yeah.
like full evidence for what someone is talking
Whoa.
About. So basically we've all heard the piano playing. My dad actually separately saw a young girl walking towards him at one point, like nearby the house, and that no one else saw.
Whoa.
So we've all had weird experiences, but we can't. We all thought it was the young girl who was the ghost, but then the historian told me she couldn't find an obit for the girl, so we think she might still be alive.
What?
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
So I'm trying to find her now.
We have to find out.
I know. Yeah. Mystery.
I know.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it always just the same note over and over, or sometimes is someone playing like a song?
So I've heard a song, my brother heard a note, and I think my sister heard a song.
What song?
I don't remember.
Oh, my God.
And I don't remember what my parents heard or my grandparents heard.
What are you saying,
do
note?
You remember how it went?
Like the Eyes Wide Shut music?
Ding.
Oh, my God, that
ding.
Would be so cool. Yeah, it was just, it's just kind of ominous and creepy. But we don't think the ghost is bad because obviously nothing bad has happened while we've all been going in and out of that house for like 25
right,
years.
Right, you've also haven't gotten rid of the piano.
Right. Right.
But also the attachment to the piano seems negative if
yeah.
it was like a thing that she was being forced
well,
to
unless
do.
She's alive and it's the mom. We think it might be the mom now.
Oh.
Oh my God. What if you're the daughter?
Oh my God, it's me.
You're a ghost.
Suddenly my skin crumbles
well,
off.
That's like in the Christopher Pike novel version.
Right.
Or did anyone read Down a Dark Hall, I think it's called?
I don't remember.
It's a really good YA horror book that I was into about like a bunch of girls at a boarding school who are all like forced to do different talents, and then they realize they've all been sleepwalking and like channeling, they're being used to channel different great artists. So one of them is like, she wakes up playing the piano, and it's because she's being used to like channel the ghost of like Mozart to write new music. It's a good
I wish that was happening to
it's
me.
It's a good book.
Oh my God.
Sign me
wait,
up.
Wait, I have
ghost,
an idea.
Please possess me.
Rachel, you've got to get your grandparents to get a medium. Like, you have to go full seance in this, I think.
I tried. So I actually held a lot of seances in their house as a child.
Uh-huh.
I was like the head of the seance committee in my family. I just forced everyone to have seances all the time. I was a spooky kid, so that didn't help any of it. Like, obsessed with graveyards and death. But, like, I... So I've floated the idea of a medium past them, and they're not into it. I think they just don't want to – they don't really like talking about it, and they're not really into the whole right. – they kind of don't believe it, even yeah. though everyone has heard it. They're yeah. like, oh, it's energy. And I'm like, well, that's the same thing.
Well, it's also like – I mean, I can kind of understand that if it's your home, because it's like – I feel like it's one of these things where the more you buy into it – or not necessarily buy into it, like, with money, like, with a medium, but, like, yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, the more you acknowledge that this is, like, an ongoing thing, the more I feel like I would just, like, imagine more things happening.
Totally,
because
yeah.
it's this ongoing situation that I've now diagnosed within my house.
It feels easier. I mean, even when people are, like, straight up, do you for sure believe a ghost? I'm like, well, how the fuck do I know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the evidence and you tell me, like, yeah. what else could it
Maybe
be?
Maybe it's
I don't know.
Talented raccoon coming in and practicing piano.
And peeling a mandarin.
Peeling a mandarin.
Yes, maybe. It's possible.
Oh, man. You should be so lucky.
Yeah. I just feel like it's definitely something that we don't have an explanation for that we can put any kind of, like, neat.
Yeah.
You know, there's no real explanation for it. It's something yeah. that just this murky, weird mystery that I really enjoy.
I was just going to say, how much time do you spend, like, thinking about this and looking into it? Because honestly, if it were me, I would spend 24 hours a day just Googling these people and trying to get to the bottom of it.
When I let myself, I do that. Like, when I was home and I was doing all that research, I was like, texting my family every 5 minutes yeah. for, like, a week. And they were like, okay, please stop. But so when I have time and I have the inclination, I get really deep into it. But yeah. then I kind of have to step back and be like, okay, there's, like, a million people with this girl's name in America. We don't even know yeah. who she married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really hard to find her because she's, like, gone off the grid, basically. Or yeah. she completely changed her name. But I'm obsessed with the idea of finding her, and I really want to.
So she came back. Well, she came back when she was 18, you said? Or she, like, did she finish high school there?
I think she, like, went off somewhere. Like,
oh.
Or she finished high school. All I know is that she had a monkey as a baby. That's all I know. I don't know exactly where she got the monkey.
Find the monkey.
She sowed her oats. Yeah, we got to find that monkey.
The monkey knows all the secrets. Maybe the monkey lives in the house and is playing the piano.
Oh, maybe.
Wait a second.
Still an old-ass monkey.
People right. who treat like, monkeys like babies are a bugaboo of
mine, I have
to say.
What if there's, like, a Phantom of the Opera monkey really living like in the basement and, like, coming up
like a 100-year-old monkey?
Yeah, and it, like, comes up occasionally to play the piano.
My symphony.
That would actually be a really exciting explanation.
I feel like I may have seen you play this piano, perhaps, on social media. Is that possible?
Oh, yeah. I don't play the piano, but my grandparents and my sisters and my dad all play.
And so it is the same one that they had?
It's not the same piano.
It's not. Okay.
No, it's my grandparents' piano that they bought.
I want to know, if the piano's playing, if you go look at the piano, do you think it looks like one of those player pianos where the keys are depressing? Piano. Or is it, like, a different, like, the noise isn't coming from that piano. It's, like, coming from a different piano. I'm never going to stop thinking about this, by the way.
I know. I don't think it's coming. I don't necessarily think it's coming from the piano.
It doesn't sound like a piano downstairs playing. It's
well,
like,
it does, but I can't tell you if it's, like, coming from that room. It just sounds like it's downstairs. Right. And maybe their piano was in the same spot. Huh. But I don't think that literally, like, someone is plonking on the piano.
Right. It doesn't sound that.
No.
Like, it's on the same plane.
It's more, it's a different dimension.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. It's the past overlapping with the present.
Yeah. So this is, like, overall, like, a positive thing in your childhood. Like,
yeah.
I think of, like, my neighbor Totoro when they're like, yay, we live in a haunted house. Like, they're so stoked about it.
They're just like,
I loved it. I was like, let's go to grandma's all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. And I loved sleeping there. And I would freak myself out. I had a brief period in high school when I got really scared. I think this was after I heard the story from my friend. And I would run past the piano when I came over. Like, I couldn't look at it, even though I don't know what, like, I would have seen. But
okay.
I had, like, a weird period where I would, like, put my hand over my eye. But then I got back into it again.
I like that you were a little Wednesday Addams, so you were, like, sweet.
Owning it.
Yeah. I was obsessed. I asked my dad now, I'm like, weren't you ever, like, worried that I was so obsessed with death and I would just go sit in cemeteries? He was like, no. I was like, okay, cool.
Your dad seemed like such a good sport about all of this. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember wishing that I lived in a haunted house. We moved houses when I think before I was in third grade. And I think I had kind of figured out, I don't know if it was told to me, but I knew that the previous owner of the house had been like an old man, like a widower, and he had most likely died in the house. And so I loved to kind of spook myself. There was like a weird crawl space in the attic, and I would like poke my head in and freak myself out.
We would have been friends.
Yeah. But I was like, there's nothing interesting there. It was just like, I don't know. It was, there was nothing haunted about it. I mean, everything feels a little bit like dank and haunted in the Pacific Northwest, but there was no actual ghost activity. I keep saying, like, I would, if Show me any paranormal activity.
Show me a ghost.
I would love to see it. Show me a ghost.
Show me a ghost. I do believe, though, that, like, you have to, I mean, that whole thing about you have to kind of be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Like, I think because I was so into that as a kid,
yeah.
I was a bit of a portal. I was like the girl from Poltergeist, basically, putting my hands on the TV.
Yeah, on the piano.
Yeah.
I also lived on a haunted street. I am now.
Your street is haunted? Recalling.
No, not my street now, but the street that I lived on until I was five, which is like down the street from where we record this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sierra Bonita in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Is
that haunted?
Yeah, I like found out as an adult that it's like famously haunted.
What do you mean?
There's supposedly like a haunted stagecoach goes down it.
Really?
I think I learned about it actually from Less Than Zero because he talks about it in Less Than Zero, but it also comes up in a lot of like California ghost history books that like Sierra.
No, I know about this. Yeah. Because like, I used to ride my bike up Sierra Bonita, and then I think I used to, this again, we're revealing stuff about stages in our life. I used to keep a copy of Less Than Zero on my nightstand.
It's okay.
We'll just like read a page of it like before going to sleep every night. But I do remember, I think that, yeah, that all makes sense.
Out.
Yeah, I do remember
but
hearing something.
Yeah, it also,
about
it. You see it in actual like California ghost history books, mm-hmm. which I also read a little bit of. But they also in Mulholland Drive, I think the apartment complex that they live on is on Sierra Bonita.
Oh.
It's called like the Sierra Bonita Apartments or something, which I thought was a fun touch. Because it's haunted.
Yeah.
Also, all of Hollywood is haunted. Choice. It's mad haunted.
I mean, there's a lot of haunting going on. I live really close to, there's like this haunted house with like a torture dungeon that I pass sometimes.
Oh,
and I'm
just
like,
what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I don't think I'll go in there.
Current one?
Was it like Don Simpson's house?
It's the Black Dahlia house.
Oh, the Black Dahlia house.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
But I'm not into it because I'm like afraid of it. But,
oh,
you know,
I've been there.
I won't do it, man.
I went there as a kid once. Again, I didn't know it was haunted. My brother's friend lived there and we picked him up from a sleepover. And it's the weirdest house because it's like,
you're talking about the one on Franklin, right?
Yeah. It's built by Frank Lloyd Wright Jr. Yeah. And it's called like the Shark House or the
Jaws
House.
I thought that was a Soudan house. Or Soden House?
People call it the Jaws House because it looks like a shark. It looks like a Jaws.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It's scary looking.
Yeah.
And then sort of recently it came out that it was like where this surgeon lived who was probably the Black Dahlia killer. But when I went there to pick him up from the sleepover, it was like, it's this house that has this giant outdoor patio in the middle, this like large open space.
Like an atrium type thing?
Like an atrium with like a pond and stuff. And I just remember being like, this is the creepiest place I've ever been.
Right, yeah.
And like my brother, I was talking about sleeping over there and like having to get up and use the bathroom at night being like very scary.
Yeah.
And then again, later, vindicated.
This is different from the Ennis house, right?
Yeah, it's different.
But it looks a lot, it looks kind of stylistically like it.
Frank Lloyd Wright
like
Jr.
It.
built a bunch of kind of Frank Lloyd Wright knockoffs, you know, that are good, but
this one just looks like Legos. It looks like it's been built with Legos.
We'll take a picture of it.
Can you Airbnb it?
Well, somebody was saying, like, actually, I did a podcast. I did the Sup Doc, which is a documentary podcast down the hill from there, and they were saying that, like, somebody had bought it and then was using it as an event space and that all the neighbors were mad because they were constantly, somebody bought it for like a weed startup or something.
Oh my God.
It looks like a weed startup.
Yeah. Like,
that's probably its destiny.
That is bad
like
juju
haunted,
for your startup.
You're haunted.
Yeah.
Weed, like a bunch of really stoned people in a murder house.
But it's also great.
No,
maybe they
no.
sold haunted weed. Maybe the weed got ghosts in it.
Ooh.
Again, with
I love
the jewel,
that idea.
Right?
Maybe the Black Dahlia is a strain of weed. That makes you go insane.
Ghost weed.
I've literally never seen this. Can you see it from the street?
Yeah. I'll post a picture. It's really scary looking.
No, I mean I'm looking at it right now, but I'm like, I've never seen this before.
For a while, it was really overgrown. It was on the market like 2 years ago, I think, and it had like a bunch of kind of landscaping that had gone nuts in front, so you couldn't really see it. And then they ripped out all the landscaping and they did this like really cool landscaping, but then. It just, like, it's a very strange-looking house. Yeah. So you just are like,
yeah. It looks like a haunted house.
It looks very haunted. My whole thing with houses is that I get, like, I just get vibes, but I don't think I have a very good, like, spiritual read. So I'm always like, oh, if you sleep on a level that's below street level, you know, if you have to walk down to go to your bedroom, you'll get depressed. And I stand by this.
Oh.
I think it's
Wait, in specific houses or any house?
Any house where it's like an upside down floor plan where the bedrooms or a bedroom are like below the main floor, I feel strongly.
Wait, I agree.
Right?
I totally
because
agree.
Because you have the weight of your house on you while you
sleep.
Yeah,
on you.
That's crazy. I know, it's true.
I'm also a big vibe person. Like if I walk into a house or a restaurant, I'm instantly like, I want to kill myself. I have to leave.
Yes.
Like,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I have that all the time with places. Yeah. There are places where I'm just like, I know I'm supposed to like meet somebody for dinner here, but like maybe we can go someplace else.
Yeah, maybe not.
I've walked out of so many restaurants. I'm like the worst high maintenance bitch a lot. I'm like, I can't eat in here. I will die.
But you have so much credibility as a haunting expert. You could just tell everybody like, no, this place is haunted. We don't want to go here. Like,
true.
Or like this place isn't haunted enough. We should go to the more haunted place.
I also feel like eating in a haunted place is like somehow worse than just being in a haunted place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're involved in too many bodily. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Night Call listeners, if you have ever eaten in a haunted place or if you have ever gotten immediate bad vibes from a restaurant or bar or public business, please give us a Night Call at 1-240-46-NIGHT. Or a night email at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com.
I know you guys are laughing, but I'm dead serious. You got to call that number if that's true.
No.
If you've eaten food in a haunted place.
No, seriously, I want to know.
Yeah. Also,
name names. Name fucking names. We want to know.
I'm not endorsing the phrase name names on this podcast.
Name ghosts only.
Don't shame ghosts.
No, never
Just
shame ghosts.
Just introduce us to them. We would like to meet them.
So we have a night email this week, very dutifully following up on a request for emails and calls about not the desert, but dessert. And this comes to us from @BordeauxBlues, who has asked to be identified by his Twitter handle. And that's good because I don't think I couldn't pronounce his name, although I am familiar with him from Twitter. So here is BordeauxBlues. Hello, dear Night Call crew. I really wanted to ask a question after listening to the latest episode, but since my only desert experience as a kid from Sweden is from my mother's hometown in Anatolia, and the snowy hills up north aren't sufficiently desert-like, maybe asking about desserts is more my lane this time around. And since the first dessert that always comes to mind for me is baklava, I think all I can ask is, what is your favorite foreign dessert dish, as in a non-American pastry or something in that general area?
A non-American Sincerely. Pastry. Good question.
Thank you. This is a very good question, and the caller emailer is from Sweden, and this just immediately made me think of the Swedish princess cake from Great British Bake Off. Are you guys familiar?
Well,
with the show?
Familiar with the show. I will say that like most of the things on Great British Bake Off look very disgusting.
I agree.
Is the princess cake like the like million layer cake?
It's like got a zillion steps and it's a dome and it has a marzipan outer layer. It actually looks like
beautiful.
It would be really delicious.
I don't know if
it's
I would
green.
Enjoy eating it. I'm not like a super big cake person. I'm going to come out hard here and say that.
Me too, Molly. I'm with
I
you.
I like pie.
Controversial.
I prefer pie. I like there to be usually.
Why not both?
Boston cream pie. Again, Boston cream pie. Best of both worlds. You
not
guys.
Foreign. Not foreign.
No. But I'm just saying pie versus
not
cake.
Not foreign. The thing I've gotten super into in the past couple years are choco pies, which are a Korean version of moon pies, which
moon
are an
pies,
American
yeah.
thing. But it's like one of those things where somebody like does a cover version and it's better than the original, you know? Mm-hmm. They're just like really good. They're not like a pastry per se, though. They're more of like a snack cake. But
a snack cake can be a dessert.
They're like little chocolate discs. And they're delicious. And I recommend
them. I haven't had the choco pies, I don't think. I feel like I've had versions of it. If we're talking about Asian pastries, or like, this isn't a favorite, but I just love the idea of it. There's like a very like everywhere type of cake in Japan called the Castella cake, which is like a weird kind of Portuguese cake that's been turned into a Japanese cake. And people give them as gifts. Like it's basically like a pound cake. But it comes
like
in a really fancy
cake.
Box.
I'll go with the
cake. But it's super basic. But the thing about the Castella cake is like, well, one, they cut because it's like it's Japanese and they put as much packaging on as possible. A lot of times they'll be cut already in individual slices with like pieces of paper or something in between them, like these perfect little slices. And also because of the way that the climate is in Japan, a lot of times they vaguely taste of mildew. Like this is just a feature, not a bug, that they kind of taste like mildew. And also each town, I think, has like their own Castella cake, but they all taste the same as far as I can tell.
Oh, I love that, though.
It's just like a weird kind of like cake of the mind.
Yeah.
Castella
like
cake.
A ceremonial mind cake. For
that's
sure.
Basically it.
I like cakes as art objects. I mean, I think on the Great British Bake Off, that comes up a lot. And on all the pastry decorating shows, it's like, I just find frosting disgusting.
So you're not into the peppermint hi-hat cake
Yeah. I'm very like prejudiced against a lot of Midwestern foods, it turns out.
Yeah.
Because of...
Wow, rude.
It's very rude. I'm sorry. I like a rustic tart, y'all. I like some Alice Waters.
How Californian of you.
I know. But... I'm trying to think, like, what's the most like, fun pie?
I'm going to say for my foreign dessert, I'm going to stand for tiramisu.
Ooh.
Tiramisu was the first dessert I truly enjoyed, I think.
Tiramisu would definitely be served at Romay Memories, Molly and Mai's 90s theme.
Yeah. and Black Forest cake.
I don't like Black Forest cake. I don't really like fruit and chocolate
mixed.
There
was a Black Forest ice cream, like a Black Forest cake themed ice cream at an ice cream place I went all the time called Swenson's kid that I like
that sounds
think
great.
About all the time.
You know what ice cream I think about all the time? It's not an ice cream, it's a gelato. Haagen-Dazs had this hazelnut gelato.
Oh,
it was the best thing that I've ever had in my entire life. And then
is it like Nutella?
Yeah, no, it was not at all chocolatey. It was like, it was just so good. And the texture, it was like a little bit, it was a very good gelato texture. It was very soft and scoopable, even right from the freezer. And it was like fluffy and the flavor was like so good. And they got rid of it, you guys.
Oh, man.
And I've been looking, it's like the Entenmann's Blackout cake.
I got into the choco pies
that.
Because there was a place in the Second Street Mall in Little Tokyo that had like a choco pie ice cream with the chopped up choco pies. And it was like, it's like a moon pie, but Korean. And so I got the ice cream and that was the gateway to getting into the
choco pies.
Tres leches, I'm going to also throw out.
It's good. It honestly can be too wet. It really depends on
the milk. This from tiramisu? Lady tiramisu saying a cake is
tiramisu.
Too wet?
Tiramisu. What are you
tiramisu.
Doing?
Tiramisu.
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 I mean, tres leches is like literally, isn't it like three
it's
milks?
It's three milks. It's but honestly, sometimes.
All the milks.
I was getting that three milk cake. And then eventually I was like, it's just so wet.
I love that it's wet.
I couldn't get with it anymore.
My favorite is pavlova.
Oh, I love pavlova.
Which is apparently Australian.
Yes, it's so good.
I've never had pavlova.
It's like a egg white. Fluffy thing full of fruit, which I know it sounds like not that great, but
no,
it's really
good. I like anything that's fluffy, like for a cake.
It's like an unbaked
like a fluffy
meringue.
Shell.
Yeah.
Unbaked.
Or not unbaked,
that's
but it's
really
like a
good
slightly
way.
Soft meringue with fruit. It's so good, you guys.
Where do you
My friend made it for us when we were all really stoned in the Poconos one, so I'm very, very, like, I'm not to be trusted on this. But it was, like, the best thing I've ever eaten.
Did you go to any haunted resorts in the Poconos?
Did you go to the one where you can sleep in the big like glass
champagne glass?
What?
Oh, we want to do that.
Oh my god,
a night call dream destination.
That should be night call camp.
It's
camp
like
night call is again? In the Poconos in the champagne.
I don't
glass.
Know.
It's Sybaris.
Is that right? What it is? Because they advertise on the subway. They're like, come have your romantic getaway in this like nasty ass like champagne glass bed.
Well, because I am the ghost, I am always in a haunted getaway.
I think we can't improve from there.
Yeah. If you've got any opinions about cakes.
If you've been to the Poconos also.
Yeah. if you've slept in a champagne Poconos glass. Stories.
The size of a campaign ad, as they say. Isn't that a line?
What?
It's a line from a song.
A champagne glass.
The size of a campaign ad, I think.
Oh, yes.
Otherwise, now it is. Pretty sure I'm quoting. Give us a call or an email.
1-240-46-NIGHT or at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us everywhere you want to follow us. Twitter, nightcallpod. Facebook, Night Call Podcast. Instagram, Night Call Podcast. And once again, we've got a show coming up, a DJ show, not a podcast show, but it should be fun. You can come out. We'll play some tunes. We'll have some Boston cream pies. It's going to be a fun night.
And
February 5th
some live,
at Gold Diggers
and some
in
live
Los
magic
Angeles.
From Emma,
who's amazing.
Oh, yeah,
our,
magic.
Our Night Call adjunct magician.
February 5th at Gold Diggers in Los Angeles. That's it for Night Call this week. Thank you, Rachel, for being
thank
here.
You,
thank you, Rachel.
Thank you for the ghost stories.
Anytime.
We'll see everybody next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.